This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Today my message is more of a topical message, and that means I'm going to talk to you today. And the title of my message today, The Blessing of a Lockdown. The Blessing of a Lockdown. I prayed much this morning and prayed about what could I say, because I have brought you several messages on these times. And look at some of those little sermons on there on YouTube about a nation in crisis is when I brought a message about the crisis we're going through. I came back and preached to you from the Summerhill location about this is God's world. I also have a message on there about let not your heart be troubled. You can tune in on Facebook and hear any of these messages during these troubling times. And my son, Reverend Timothy Jr., the co-pastor of the church, is perhaps teaching from his backyard of his house out in the yard as he did last week, a powerful word he brought to us. Tune in to him as he and Jackie brings a message to you from their home, just making sure that you still hear from us while you're on this lockdown. Now, I know this is going to probably shock some of you. What are you going to tell me about a blessing within a lockdown? Yes, the country is in a lockdown. This virus has put us in a lockdown. That means everybody just shut down, can't go nowhere. It's a lockdown. You can tell lockdown, shutdown, whatever. It's a blessing in a lockdown and a shutdown. And we have had many things in the past to cause people to lock down and to shut down. We have had pandemic before and virus and nearly wipe out a nation before. A lot of you probably don't know that. And I often think about the Black Plague that came back in the early, gosh, that was a long time ago, that the Black Plague nearly wiped out over 40 to 50 million people. That was more than World War II. 40 or 50, or some people said 80, nearly wiped out all of Europe. And that was, they say, as a result of fleas that were biting rats, and then the fleas would bite humans, and that caused a pandemic, the Black Plague. You might can read and Google that on your phone and see how devastating the Black Plague was. And, well, it vanished. It vanished. You'll often see crisis or season. And a lot of us have forgotten about the Spanish flu that came in and nearly wiped out over 40 million people. And we witnessed these plagues before, and the flu we've had here, the swine flu, that wiped out nearly millions of people. We've had things of that nature to happen. And the Ebola virus came out. The Ebola virus wiped out people, and people were dying by the thousands and lying in the streets years ago, were dying in the streets. In fact, there was a time we witnessed something like this where people were dying so fast they didn't have nobody to bury them. Amazing. If you go back and check and see, we've had these things before. We've had a lockdown where there was a whole month one time that the government called a yellow fever. If you remember, probably your history, that yellow fever hit this country and they locked down the country, Congress, for 40 days. We have witnessed these things. We probably just forgot. This is not the first time we've had a lockdown or shutdown. And we're experiencing one right now, something we've never experienced in our generation. Now, there have been a lot of questions. Is this the end of time? Is this the time when the Antichrist will come on the scene? I don't know. But I do tell you this, some things pay close attention to. If it is, we're seeing a preview of how it will happen, that the Antichrist is coming, because the Bible predicts in Revelation chapter 13. Whether we're there or not, I don't know. Only God knows the day or the hour. Even the angels in heaven don't know when the Lord will return. But I'm a believer of the word, and I believe the Bible, and it says these days are coming. But there are some interesting things to think about during this lockdown and what's going on. I'm believing we're more closer to the Antichrist because of technology. We've never known such a thing to happen like this in this age of technology, when we're so advanced that we got something on our hand we can't do nothing with. All we can do is fight, pray, and ask God to help us. Because of technology, they're talking about a stimulus package and how they're going to get this money to people. And have you noticed they're already saying, we don't want to send checks, we don't want to send no money, because they're thinking the virus might be on this money when we're passing it around. It's going to lead us to go digital. Our money going to come directly to your account. If that continues to happen, that everything's going digital, then that means paper money won't be around long, right? That means everything gonna have to go on a chip. That means that little chip has to go somewhere on your finger, on your forehead, wherever they're gonna put it. That means everything is digital, work by computer. We're in that day. Don't say it's not impossible that we will have a mark. We are already here. I used to wonder, how in the world everybody going to get a mark years ago, 50 years ago or more when I started preaching. Now, when I was a student at Morehouse, we didn't know much about computers. We had to stand in line sometimes 8, 12 hours just to get registered. And when I came out in 86, we had to stand that long line. But now my grandson went to Morehouse, and I was asking him, I said, when are you going to register? So I've already registered. I said, you haven't gone up there. See, I did it online. We didn't know nothing about that then. Now it's possible. Bible online, teaching online, now the church online. All a man has to do today is come on the scene and grab the system. Think about it. And you can't buy nor sell without that mark. That's what Revelation said. He coming, you won't be able to buy nor sell without the mark of the beast. Brothers and sisters, if I ever believed the Bible, I really believe it now, because I'm witnessing right before you. This thing looks like a dream, doesn't it? It's like, sir, this is unreal. This is America. This is the strongest nation on earth, the richest nation on earth, and we on a shutdown? We got weapons can blast you off the world. All the nuclear power we got and all the scientific knowledge we have something we can't do nothing about. And is it God showing us? We're moving to a cashless society. Cashless. And it could be because of this virus. It could be because God is guiding history and moving it to where he wanted to bring about this man who will control the world. And now we know he'll be able to control it through technology. You can't go get grocery and buy nothing now soon without going through the scanner. They don't want your money already. There's no tailor, there's no cashier there. You got to learn how to use that computer. You got to learn how to put information in and waste food and all that stuff. So some places already, they don't want your money. They just want your information. We here. Isn't that Bible real? Now, I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to open your eyes so that you be wise, that this generation And if this virus doesn't wipe out, even if they find a cure, what else going to happen? The Antarctic is melting. And that's a serious problem. That the coldest place on earth is melting, friend. And when water, ice melt, what happened? It rise. We could be underwater. And nature going to get crazy. That's what the Bible says. Friends, wake up and give yourself to God. The church is falling away from God, which is another side of the apostate church that people are just going. They don't care nothing about God no more. And it's amazing. I'm not just saying nothing, just stuff, nothing, but in Italy and another place, that's where the Rome is. That's where the Vatican is. You know, we haven't heard much from them, but here's the point. It's amazing where Christianity started is where less people go to church. And that's one of the signs. The places where Christianity was born, less people go to church. Those big cathedrals are empty. They don't like God. The great falling away of some things, we need to be in that word. You need to be in that word. Now, back to the message. How can a blessing come from a lockdown and a shutdown? Are you ready for this? Number one, it teaches you the value of a home. Number one, it teaches you the value of a home. Because we've had this lockdown and this shutdown, there's some blessings out of that. Now you know how important it is that you have a home. What if you didn't have a home? I feel sorry for the homeless. Because where are they going when it's a shutdown? Where are they going to hide? Where can they go? I assume the shelters. What if the shelters are full and running over and then they're turning them away? Where can they escape during this lockdown? Now you're being thankful. You have a place to go, which leads me to say, you need a church home too. What if you didn't have a home when something happened? Every time something happened, I don't care if you're out of town, you know the first thing you're thinking about? I want to go home. I remember I was out of town in Florida one time, and it's kind of funny. I wouldn't tell nobody I was in Florida, and I just wanted to be alone and rest a little bit and get away, and I wouldn't tell my assistant where I was. She said, kept asking, Pastor, where are you? I said, none of your business. Boy, that storm came to Miami, Florida, and I got caught down there, and I got on that phone screaming, hey, Barbara, where are you? She said, where are you? I said, I'm in Florida. Get me up from down here. She said, you should have told me. I said, don't worry about that. Get me up from down here, quick. So she laughed, Pastor, I told you about going somewhere without telling me. She had to get me on a plane, and I caught the last flight out. I barely made it before that storm came in. What was I thinking about? I wouldn't care nothing about no beach. I wouldn't care nothing about relaxing. I wanted to go home. And that's the first thing that happens when things tragic strike. I want to go home. Glad to have a home. Do you have a church home? I hate to say this out of the years I've pastored, that when somebody die, that churches have to turn them away from a funeral because they don't have a church home. And a lot of people get mad. Well, the church feels like if you didn't walk in there, why roll you in? God's not going to force you into heaven. It's a choice. You don't wait and think about a church when somebody died. You need to have a home before that. You need to have a pastor. You need to have a church. You need to have a family. You need to have a home. And it's a bad thing when a relative dies and you got to take them to a funeral home, and when they ought to have a church home. Got to hire a preacher who doesn't know nothing about them when they ought to have a pastor. Oh, you may laugh and talk about it, but you're going to die. And you need a home. And if you can talk about church, I don't go to church, I don't like the people in the church, you might need them one day. Be careful how you talk against church. You never know when you're going to have to be rolled in there. And you be careful how you talk about the preacher. He may be the last, well, he probably will be the last one speaking over you. You need a home. You also need a church home. But you also need a heavenly home. So when you die, if something happens and we are wiped out, I said something to somebody yesterday. trying to make me panic and feel, oh, Reverend, this is happening, that's happening. I said, so what? Yeah, but why aren't you? I said, worry about what? Dying is a part of living. If the Lord take us out and we all have to go, I'm so glad I'm saved. And you ought to be glad you saved. The only people going to be frightened are people that's so in the material thing and so into this world. Listen, God never designed this body to stay here forever. We're going to leave here anyway. I have to say one thing that Hitler said, though he was a murderer, and I'm sure he's punishing it. Being punished by the wrath of God now, he killed over 50 million people. But you know what he said? Why does it matter whether we kill people? They're going to die anyway. Well, there's some truth to that, but God didn't tell him to kill them. So God is the one who gives life and take life. But we are going to die anyway, but you don't go around and take people. But the one thing for sure, God designed the body to break down and we will go back to dust. But hey, thank God, whatever happened, if you catch something and you had nothing to do with it and you die, aren't you glad you know Jesus? Aren't you glad that you saved? That though we're going to leave here one day, it's more important that I have a heavenly home when I'm done with this world, because that's going to be forever. I'm getting ready to preach a sermon on the word forever. Praise God. I just thank God that when I get to heaven, it'll be forever. Don't want to go to hell, because that's forever. You need a home. You're finding out now with this virus and lockdown the value of having a home. You're finding out, you're probably beginning to pay attention to your home. Men, while you're around the house, you have been neglecting that home, and you need to paint your house. Amen. That's probably, you know, my house need painting. My rooms need painting, and I need to cut this grass. The lockdown has forced you to pay attention to your house that's about to fall apart. You know why it's falling apart. You don't pay no attention. You're in the street too much. You're so busy making a living to have made a life. You're so busy trying to take care of everybody else's house and everything. I know I hit some contractors then. I'm sure your wife's going to get that porch fixed now. Amen. You've been fixing everybody else's porch. You've been fixing everybody else's room. Now that you can't go nowhere, I'm sure, get him, mama. Get him while you got him. Now you're going to fix my porch. Praise God. Because now this lockdown has forced him home, and he needs to pay attention to where he lives. Thank God for a home. That's what this lockdown, that's a blessing. Another blessing from this lockdown is we've learned how to be obedient. There's nobody in the church now, but maybe four or five of us, a couple of deacons, somebody here with the pastor. But have we learned? I was going to have a parking lot in church today. I was planning to have on holy ground, still having church. But when the mayor and the governor declared all gatherings, a large gathering, which should not be, I canceled that because I didn't want to be in defiant. And that's what the lockdown is about, being obedient. Respect the authority, respect. I first called on and spoke to our council lady and asked her, Ms. Overstreet, should I do it? She said, Reverend, I can't tell you what to do with your congregation, but I think the best thing to do is let's obey what our leaders tell us and what the governor says. You don't want the police have to come up there, because I thought about it. The cars are out there, this pollen is bad, and you're going to be letting your windows down, and somebody may be coughing right next to your car and put you at risk. I know some of you weren't going to church before we had a virus. So I know, praise God, couldn't get you there. Now, why you want to come now that we have this? You should have been coming all the while. God, I only got a few folk to laugh at here today. We couldn't get you in church when there was no virus. Now we're going to run here now and risk your life. Oh, just stay on home and listen to what I'm saying. Church need to be in you to have church. Instead of coming to church, get some church in you. And be obedient. Do what they tell you to do. They are for the people, by the people, and of the people. That's the government. So, brothers and sisters, if they know something we don't know, just obey. We're learning from this lockdown, this shutdown, the power of obedience. Go, put on your mask, protect yourself and stop meeting in large gatherings. I only limited to a few people. We have a funeral coming up Saturday, a precious young man that passed away and it shocked us all. But we're limited to only 50 people can come in. Never thought we'd see this. I'm sure this church would be packed, but I can't let you in. You're going to probably watch it online Saturday. So whatever it takes, let's be obedient. It's hard to get us to obey. But now it's bad to have the police pull you over to teach you to be obedient. God said, obey me. And you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. We're learning now to be obedient because of this virus. The power, I could preach all day on obedience, because the first sin came as a result of disobedience. Adam and Eve disobeyed, and wrath of God will come on you because of disobedience. You don't want to pay your tithe when God said give your tithe. You don't want to pray. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to do anything. You just don't want to obey. You're disrespectful in the house of God. You're bullheaded and all like those things. Now, this is teaching us the power of obedience. Obey God. Another thing lockdown is doing is teaching us about things that are essential. The most important thing now is not about having fun. It's about getting something to eat and being careful. Wow. Most important thing. You know what? We got to be serious about some things that are essential. Things that are very important. Your family. Think about that. That's what this thing is doing. Whoa, wow. God gave me a mighty word today for you. The blessing of a lockdown or a shutdown. Now you're being able to become a family. You'll be able to come home and be a family. You can't go nowhere. Hey, good cookout on the back patio you haven't cooked out on all year. That place need cleaning. My son had a big cookout with his family. I saw it on Facebook, and it was amazing. All of them sitting on the patio. Hey, got to learn how to barbecue nowadays. Hey, man, instead of burning up the meat, got to teach you how to cook now. You don't just put the meat on the flame when it's hot. Let the charcoal burn down, then put your meat on before you don't burn it up. Praise God. Well, my father was a great cook, so I didn't know how to barbecue. I put the fire up there and then threw the meat on there. My wife came to the whole stuff burnt black. I forgot. She told me, stick with preaching, because I didn't know how to cook. Well, I learned one of my deacons, one of your deacon Moore and others told him, no. You let the charcoal cook down and just let it get hot. And then put the meat on, not when it's flaming. Well, now some of you young men now got to learn how to barbecue. Burn up a few pieces of meat, and then you'll learn how not to do it no more. Amen. And keep some water. Keep it sprayed down. And, little thing, now you're going to have to learn talking to you young men that have not barbecued. So bring that family together and sit in and watch TV together. You're becoming more family-oriented when they lock down. You're beginning to pay attention to the children that you haven't paid any attention to. When they're in your face all day, you will notice them. Amen. And now you got to put up with that noise. Praise God. Because it brings family together. You know, something else just struck me. It's teaching us about when you're safe and trying to be obedient. Thank you, Lord, for this revelation. It's teaching us about one another. Isn't that awesome? You're not just concerned about you. You don't want to cough and got a virus and hurt nobody else. So I was going in the store the other day, and I had my mask on and going in the grocery store, because I'm saying, I'm not just doing this for me, but for somebody else. We got to learn that in a shutdown, a situation like this, we are learning what that word means, one another. Love ye one another. Forgive one another. We got to be concerned about the other person. You might say, I'm doing what I want to do, but it's not about you. It's about other people that you want to protect. We're learning the value with this with this lockdown, that we need to be concerned about one another. Another thing, and I must hurry along, this lockdown or this shutdown is about solitude. It's about getting alone, getting to yourself, taking an inventory. I think I've been doing more praying since I've been shut up in my house than I've prayed in a long time. I've been talking to God more, thinking about some things more. You know, all my children gone, grown now. This Sister Fleming and I in our house together. Been married soon, next month, 50 years. And, you know, when the kids were in the house, I loved it. But when they all left, I said, I was so depressed. We both, I don't know, nobody here. But now I love it. It's peaceful. It's quiet. And when my grandchildren come, glad to see them come and glad to see them what? Go. Amen. But it's peaceful there. We've had our day in raising our children. But one of the things that has been such a blessing is when you together, you pay attention to one another. You begin to notice one another. Amen. And my wife down, seeing about her 91-year-old mother and sister, because she had to rush down there. Nobody see about them. They're alone, sick. So she'd go down there and spend her time. Well, she's retired down there seeing about them. So if I had a mother, I would be doing the same thing, because who else is going to do it if you don't do it? So it brings us together to care about one another. Brothers and sisters, this lockdown is going to draw you to your family. Now you probably will start noticing that young man in the house. What is he doing? Who is on that computer talking to? Is he on drugs? What is he doing? You need to pay attention, father and mama. Notice them, because they're home, making sure they're doing their homework. Have you paid any attention? Make sure he's not failing in his grades. You know, we put it on the teacher. The teacher is not the parent. Teach them at home, and it'll be more easy to teach in the classroom. Did you catch that? Teach them at home, then it'll be more easy for the teacher to teach in the classroom. This lockdown is going to show us the value of one another and paying attention to loved ones at home. So another thing, I like this about this solitude, because with this lockdown, you know the importance of pulling away. I often say you can't see a parade when you're in it. The only way you can see a parade is to get out of it. Maybe God is allowing us to get in solitude so we can stand back and look at some things. Because when you stand back, you say, I didn't see that. I didn't know that. Then sometimes when you're in solitude like this, it gives you an opportunity to take inventory of you. You're so busy watching everybody else and talking about their fault. Have you looked at your own? Look at me. You are your worst enemy. If you can learn how to live with you, then you can learn how to live with others. You have a chance now in solitude to look at you. One thing about you, you can't run from you. And you may run from church to church, and you may run from preacher to preacher. It's not the people, it's you. Maybe you're so difficult to please that every time something go wrong, there you go. Every time something come in town new, there you go. Every time some new preacher pop up, there you go. You run from place to place. You go from place to place. What is wrong? You're not satisfied with you, and you're looking for comfort in people. You need people to tell you who you are or to make you feel important. You need to know who you are. And if you learn how to live with you, you can stay on a job. Hey, I found out as I pastored this church for 45 years, this is my sixth church. And when I went to a church when I was young and I didn't like nothing going on, I just packed up and went on somewhere else.